It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast on this short week as we cover the very latest in property news. We are doing that 7 days a week on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts and Amazon. And up to a Thursday morning, the fourth day for April. And this morning we are headed off to Sydney and catching up once again with Margaret Lomas from Destiny Financial Solutions. And good morning to you, Margaret. Welcome to this short real estate week, as I mentioned, the 4th of April, and still living in 2024 with no cash rate increase. Mortgage holders' reality this year, very much different to last year.
Absolutely. I don't think we're living in as much fear of every month seeing a relentless cash rate rise. And the Reserve Bank seems to be approaching the entire thing very cautiously at the moment. No word really or no thoughts about when they're going to start to cut rates or if they will this year at all. But certainly a little bit more calm in the marketplace with people just feeling we may have reached the peak of interest rate increases for now.
Yep, for sure. So it's going to be a very interesting 2 to 3 months to see if that continues. Now, yesterday we were talking about some of these cheaper buy-in areas, including Toowoomba. We looked at Townsville, we looked at Dubbo and Griffith, and also Mackay in North Queensland. I think you've made a couple of mentions in the past about Mackay. And when you look at these areas, interestingly enough, the unemployment rate in some of these areas is going down. Like Mackay is 3.7%. I mentioned this yesterday, which is sitting below the Australian average of 4.1. People are moving in, stimulating the local economy.
And it's no secret that I've always quite liked the regions as a place to invest. And I'm not an exclusively only region investor. I've got, you know, property everywhere, including some of the regions. And if you extrapolate the data and have a look at it over a 20 and 30 year period, you'll find there are definitely regional areas that perform just as well as the city areas do over that time period. But one of the things about Mackay that we have to understand is that Mackay is essentially in the background there, a bit of a mining town. So it's very mining influenced rather than being an actual mining town itself. And we see a lot of people who work in the mines working and living in Mackay. The thing that worries me about these figures that come out saying that the employment rates are so low is that we're not far from when the employment rates in Mackay were impossibly high. And that coincided with a lull in our mining in Australia. We're now seeing a resurgence, another mining boom. If anyone holds any resource stocks at the moment, they'll know that they're doing exceptionally well. I personally invested a little bit of money in some resource stocks and now wish it had been a lot of money. Because they're doing so well. Off the back of that, we then see an uptick in employment. And what I'd really like to see in those unemployment figures is a breakdown of where the employment lies and whether we're seeing both local and fly-in, fly-out workers living there for the lifestyle, for the fact that they're closer to some of the big mines there. And, you know, there's so much to like about being in a tropical area, I guess. So what are we really seeing in Mackay? Are we seeing diversified industry coming into Mackay? Or are we just seeing a little bit of a flowdown from the mining boom again? And that employment then becomes precarious. And what I mean by that, of course, is that we just need a slowdown in mining again. And when we talk about mining, we talk about all the related industries and the reason people are in and around mining areas. Will we see that unemployment tick up again? And if that's the case, people then move out once unemployment starts to become higher. And I would just worry over the longer term. But traditionally, over time, if you buy into one of these larger regional areas, particularly ones that are surrounded by plenty of other areas and industry, then over the long term, you usually do fairly well. And certainly the return in Mackay at the moment is very good.
And what about your take at the moment on investors? Because they are returning to the property market. Yesterday I mentioned 4 out of 10 people taking out a mortgage are investors, are landlords. And there's a lot of landlords who have grown their portfolios substantially. You must know a number of these investors whereby since COVID, the number of property acquisitions that have come into the portfolio is pretty wild, is pretty crazy.
Look, empirically, we're seeing it definitely at Destiny because, you know, as you're aware, one of the things that we do is we help people to find property wherever it exists in Australia. So it's an interesting barometer because we're getting a huge influx of people who are getting us to help them buy property, but it's all over Australia. So people are wanting to buy everywhere. And it's not a surprise to me that we're seeing this uptick in investor interest. We're seeing a whole lot of things that have happened. First, if we look at the last 4 years, there's only one area, which is Adelaide, that has actually, Adelaide and Perth, which are actually now sitting at a higher average house price than they were before the COVID pandemic. And what we saw happen is we saw a bit of a fall in places like Sydney and Melbourne and Brisbane. They have recovered, but they've only recovered to pre-pandemic levels, whereas Adelaide and Perth have both exceeded their pre-pandemic levels in terms of their house prices. So because of that, because we did actually have a downturn that no one really talked about, people kept only seeing where people were having this frenzied buying. Because we had that bit of a downturn, it suddenly opens up the market and makes it more interesting in investors, because normally during a crazy boom, investors will sit back and wait for a little while because it's a bit of a dangerous time to enter the market. If you're buying a property because you need it to yield well and you overpay in a crazy market, then that's going to impact directly on your yield. But what we saw happening during these post-pandemic times is we saw yields everywhere, so rental returns, real rental returns going up. And we've all heard about the rental crisis and the fact that rents have gone up incredibly in most parts of Australia. So suddenly we see our capital values just moderating a little, but our rents have gone really well and they're still climbing. That's a very attractive proposition for an investor to be able to buy into a market where they're going to go back to the times where it's likely your rent return is going to cover your expenses and it's going to be a fairly cheap investment for you to have because there's no commitment from your own pocket.
And of course, that is what you're talking about is definitely aligned to the whole FOMO aspect. When the yield and when the rental vacancy is so low, people are buoyed up, investors are buoyed up to act in a slightly different way, a different mannerism to that slightly what you were saying, a little bit more conservative if the market is running hot because you're not necessarily going to be able to match the yield. But there's kind of two sides to that dime, isn't there?
Yeah, and look, the best way to invest, which is very difficult to convince investors, is to have a fairly long-term hold period in mind and then just consistently invest no matter what the market's doing by searching out and finding those areas that have the potential to grow tomorrow. You know, that's what we try to do with our clients every day, talk to them about the fact that, okay, this area is in the news at the moment and it might be showing fabulous growth at the moment, but that's no good to you. Because you need an area that's going to grow tomorrow after you buy it, not one that has the risk of finishing its growth the moment you settle on it. So the right way to invest is to ignore the noise and to just look for areas that have the growth drivers for tomorrow and consistently invest, because then at some point in your investing period, that area is going to have at least 1, 2, maybe 3 great periods of growth and get a fairly good rental return along the way that grows as you own it. But unfortunately, investors don't do that and they're very reactive and they see a market go crazy and they rush in. And this is where we see a lot of investors buying property at the end of its boom and therefore they sit for a long time with no growth in that portfolio. They feel that investing's not so good after all because they've bought a property that seems like a dud. They sell down and then never invest again. That's not how you should be investing as a property investor.
Now, you said avoid the noise. That is a very significant thing for investors to try and run at their own speed and not be influenced too much with the noise that you're talking about. That is easier said than done, though, isn't it?
Well, it is easier said than done, but don't forget, I never talk about anything that I haven't done myself. And, you know, we had a lot of noise around how and when we invested when we first began investing. But now we're at the tail end of that investment time horizon, and we find ourselves sitting on a very significant property portfolio that's doing well all round. But I can think of many times in those early days where I thought, oh my gosh, I bought this property, it's not doing a lot for me, or I bought a duddle, why on earth did I buy in that area? And a lot of those properties that I thought that about now are my best performers at the moment. I think we have to understand that providing certain things exist in an area, and you know, my book, The 20 Must Ask Questions, covers what those things need to be. Providing an area has those things, then at some time in your hold period, it's going to perform really well for you. What we can't anticipate is when that will be. It might be the year after you buy it, or it could be 5 years after you buy it. But if you consistently buy whenever the bank will lend to you and whenever you can afford to without overcommitting yourself, then you'll always have something in your portfolio that's probably doing well at any one moment in time. And then when you get to the other end of that portfolio where you've had significant debt repayment, your capital values have all gone up and so have your rents, then the whole portfolio starts to look really good, even those ones that in the beginning look like they might not have been such a great idea.
Indeed. All right. Well, food for thought there, Margaret. And thank you so much for coming back on to the Real Estate Podcast this morning. We're going to be talking to you in a couple of weeks' time, and I do want to cover how hard it is to borrow for those, particularly those first home buyers compared to investors. But enjoy your Thursday, and we'll talk again soon.
Look forward to it.
Every week, real estate transactions take place as the market shifts month by month. And every day, we keep you better informed and updated on the Real Estate Podcast.
Oh, hi, Craig. Good morning. Yes, it was a lovely long weekend for me.
Are you sort of seeing a bit of an uptick in people from other regions looking at the Penrith market and saying this is a market that is offering all sorts of incentives for us?
We're seeing a lot of people, especially buyers from Sydney area, they are like migrating here. And Penrith is actually offering a lot of, like in terms of infrastructures and amenities here as well. So even if you work, let's say in Sydney or far away, there's a fast train for Penrith as well. And the other reason why most buyers from Sydney coming here, they know that the airport is coming as well, it's getting built. It's another reason why to, you know, choose Penrith.
We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia. The Real Estate Podcast.